I have a verse for you. Is that all right? Well, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just being polite. So, again, thank you. I believe one of the reasons why God honors his house is because you're giving and your love for missions. And I believe that with all my heart, that God honors a missions church. Yeah, I believe that. I grew up in a church where my father pastored downtown Toronto, and they were a missions church. And I really believe through the 1970s, the charismatic movement of thousands of our Catholic brothers and sisters that came in during that time, that was one of the reasons why. Because God, you know, honored that the church was taking care of the whosoever out there. And so God just sent a blessing to Toronto, and people would come from hours away and receive the baptism and go off and go back into their Catholic church. Some of the priests used to come and take their little collars off. They were embarrassed to be in a Pentecostal church back then, and they looked like Johnny Cash then, right? Because now their little white tab was gone. Everybody knew who they were. I wasn't the servant of the Lord, but I witnessed a lot of good things back then of the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was powerful. Amen, amen. So here's my one verse for you in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. It says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. I'll try it over here. I'll be back. In Hebrews 11, verse 20, it says this. It probably says the same thing it said over there. It says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. You know, Pastor made a statement earlier, and I liked it, and I wrote it down with Gary's pen, is that faith is now. Faith is now. But one of the reasons why your faith is now is because you pulled it in. You pulled it in because faith has to do with things unseen. If you can see something, you're not looking at it by faith. You can see it. It's touchable, it's tangible, so it's right there, but by faith. And so if we could just for a few moments just to address this issue of things to come. The Bible has much to say about things to come, and things are coming. God is on a timetable, and the Holy Spirit promotes and empowers that timetable. The Holy Spirit's a great leader, but he never talks about himself. He'd be a CEO of any Canadian company, and yet he doesn't do that. He always talks about Jesus. He lifts up the name of Jesus. I wish more churches would get a hold of that and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Not what they're doing, but what Christ is doing through them. And so Holy Spirit just wants to speak to our hearts this morning about things to come. Isaac was dying, and he wanted to leave his children something he didn't buy. Pause for effect. Isaac was dying, he's an old dude, and now he wants to leave his boys something he didn't buy, something they're not going to fight over after the funeral. Sometimes it's not even after the funeral. I was holding a funeral in White Lake in the Ottawa Valley, and I was in the service, and I was leading Amazing Grace, and over to my right was the family in a private sitting room, and I could hear the two boys fighting over what Mom had. I didn't get on the ground yet, so as I led into the second verse of Amazing Grace, I walked over and said, "Would you two knuckleheads knock it off? I'm trying to bury your mother." Went back and finished out Amazing Grace. She wasn't even in the ground yet, and they were fighting over her old car. It was 15 years old, the old shanty shack that she lived in, the wood stove, and wasn't a whole lot, but Mama wasn't even in the ground yet, and they were fighting over that stuff. "Sir, I think you're a smart man. Mom, I think you're a smart lady, but you need to leave your kids something that you didn't buy, something that was paid for you by the blood of Jesus Christ. You want to leave a legacy? Leave a legacy of faith. Leave something that you didn't buy that was purchased for you." And so Isaac had learned over the years how to do this and wanted to speak this into his kids' lives before he passed to eternity. So what did he do? He pulled from the future, not the past. He spoke of those things yet to come, those things not yet seen. I don't see it yet, but I know it's there. Now, Mom and Dad, I guarantee this morning, young lady, sir, there are things in your spirit today that you can't touch, but they're there. There are promises that God has given to you. There's revelation. There's prophetic word that you've bathed in prayer. They're there. They were there when you were 5 years old, when someone laid hands upon you at a summer camp. They were there. They were there. And now you're 18, you're 25, you're 45. Those things are still on the table. The deal's still on the table. The seasons haven't gone by. You've raised a family, but God's word remains the same. The deal's still there, sir, but you know that. You know that. You still may battle with that and struggle with that, but I believe through revelation this morning that God wants to prompt you, remind you that the deal's still in place. It's there. It's not seen with your eye, but it's felt in your spirit. There are things that you have dreams. Let's use the word dreams because we believe in dreams. And those dreams come to you at nighttime or vision through the day because those are prophetic words from Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2 because we're living in the last days. where God said, not the preacher said, but God said, he poured his spirit upon all flesh. Our sons and our daughters would prophesy. Young men would have visions. Old men would have dreams. I'm having both. Hallelujah. I haven't decided whether I want to be old or young, but I want that. I desire that. You need to pull on those things today. We got too many Christians pushing things from their past. Let me say it again because I have the microphone. We have too many Christians pushing things from their past. We got stuff. Okay, we still need more tradition, more stuff, more things. And they're pushing those things along. And God says, well, you get your stinking hands off those things. I don't want you pushing things from the good old days. I got something new for you today that I need you to pull it in. I need you to grab a hold of it, not yet seen, but I want you to pull it in. That's what the Spirit of God wants to speak to us about this morning in our time together. I have a few thoughts I want to share with you. Number one is this. Faith has to do with things to come, things not yet revealed, not yet seen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. The all-time verse, whether it's King Jimmy or the NIV or the Message, it's very clear that faith is a confident assurance. Faith is a confident assurance of that for which we hope, a conviction of the reality of things we do not see. You do not see. Faith is the unseen. It's the not yet in your life. It's there in your spirit, man. It was weaved in your template in Psalm 139 when you were weaved inside of your mama's womb because you have a destiny on this planet. It's more than to just draw a paycheck every second Thursday and pay your mortgage. That's nice. I appreciate you putting a roof over your family's head. But God says, I got something bigger for you. I got something bigger for you, bigger for you. If your vision's not bigger than you, it's not from God. Let me say it again just to irritate some of you. If your vision isn't bigger than you, it's not from God. If your vision doesn't cause you to wake up some morning going, ah! I'm serious. If your vision does, in the natural, waking up in cold sweats going, how in the world are we going to do this? Man, well, I got more month than money. Like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? And then you get that smile on your face and go, the Spirit of God just calms your body and go, just relax, Chucky boy. I got this one. Hallelujah. It's going to be all right. But we pull on those things not yet seen. I just think we need some visionaries in the house that would see things and pull on them over this region of the Peterborough. Hallelujah. We want that. We desire that. In Scripture, God gives us many things to come. Many, many, many things to come. Many. They're all certain, but some carry conditions. Some carry levels of commitment that need to be addressed. So faith speaks to the future. Forsaking all, I trust him. Faith, the acrostic of the day. Forsaking all, I trust him. I trust him. I trust him. I trust him with my future. I trust him with my tomorrow. I trust him with my grandbaby that I held this morning. I trust him with my marriage. I trust him with my finances. I don't trust everybody, but I trust God. Amen. I trust Holy Spirit. That's what faith is. I trust him. I trust him. I trust him. You didn't get this far because of your abilities, your bucks, your bronze, your beauty. You got this far because you have a faith in God. A faith in God that's bigger than where you are today. And I say, thank God. Number two, faith has to do with how we live our life. How we live. How we live. Not how we talk, how we walk. Right, those two need to get married. How you talk and how you walk. They need to elope. They need to get together and just live your life. Your faith, you're saved by faith and you walk by faith. And without the rapture, you will die in your faith. Let me say it again. You were saved by faith. Not your resume, not your business card. You were saved by faith. I was saved the same way you were. By faith, by faith. It's a gift of God that no man would boast. By the grace of God, hallelujah. So I now saved by faith, I walk by faith. I walk by faith. Not by seeing, not by sight, I walk by faith. And my last breath will be my last breath down here, my next breath in heaven, and I will die in my faith. I will die in my faith, which opens up a whole new door for eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not afraid of death. Listen, let me take that pressure off you. It doesn't take any kind of guts to die. You're dead. It takes more guts to live. Don't take no guts to die. You've got people afraid of dying. If you're afraid of dying, you'll probably never live the life that God wants you to live. You'd be so intimidated, so tired, so beat up because you're afraid, 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 afraid. Man, rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a faith within you. You are saved by faith. that measure of faith. You walk by faith and you will die in your faith. You cannot please God without faith, according to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Everything you and I have done without faith has never reached heaven. It's never been recorded. It's never put a smile on the faith of Jesus Christ. It's never brought pleasure or glory to the Father or the Holy Spirit, ever. We've done a lot of neat things. If you've done them in your own strength, you've got your reward. You've got your reward. You cannot please God without faith. You cannot do it. You understand that. So that means you can't walk your faith unless you're bringing it before faith and pleasure to God. Right, saved by faith. You please God by getting saved. And then what? And then what? You will die in your faith, which brings pleasure to God because he's waited for you. He's built a home for you. Make sure you show up and live in it. He's setting a place setting for you at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Don't screw it up. Like, show up. If somebody sets a table for you, you ought to show up. You ought to be there, friend. All right? If I invite you to dinner, you better show up because you're not getting a second chance. I hope you enjoy McDonald's. Interesting when you look at the reference to Isaac's life, who was marked by so many failures, and he's listed among the heroes of faith. In spite of his failures, he believed God. Now, you need to hear this one line. I know every preacher says it, so here I am. Here's this one line. Bam! Want you to hear it. Want you to get in your spirit. Failure never glorifies God, but faith can still operate in your failures. Amen. This is me waiting for you. Failure, I've failed God a bazillion times. Thank you for not saying amen. Thank you. I appreciate your quiet there. That's good. I've failed God many times, but I've never lost my faith. I've never lost my faith. Devil's a liar. Devil's a liar. Says you failed. It's too long. It's too much. You'll never get back. You'll always be a failure. That's not God. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's a lie. It's in the book. I read it. Hallelujah. We understand that. So failure never glorifies God. But your faith was not denied by your failure. In fact, sir, you're going to need your faith to get back up again. You're going to need your faith to get back up on your sticks again and be what God wants you to be. Listen, you may fail God, but never deny your faith. Never deny your faith. Never deny your faith. Let me just throw a verse at you. You'll remember this one from Luke 22, 32. Luke 22, 32. Jesus says to Uncle Pete, you remember Uncle Pete? He was the man that would act first and think later. He tried to cut off the centurion's head and only cut off his ear. Right, that Uncle Pete, right? We all got one Uncle Pete in our family tree. We all of us. His name is Uncle Joe or Uncle Fred, but we all got an Uncle Pete. Right, so we got Peter. Jesus says to him, I'm praying for you. Man, I'm praying for you. This is Jesus. He's looking at him in the grill and he goes, I'm praying for you that your faith, he didn't say that your ministry may not fail. He didn't say that your whatever you can put in your noun and adjective. He says, I pray that your faith doesn't fail you. And when you have turned back, when you turn back, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. So listen, Pete, here's the deal. You're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. You say, well, Chuck, that's not faith. Yeah, I got faith that Pete's going to mess up. I got faith in the human race. They're going to mess up. If they weren't, then we got no need for a Savior. We got no need for Jesus. We got no need for Holy Spirit. We got no need if we're perfect. We're just perfect. But God knows that we're not perfect. And he says, listen, Pete, when you mess it up, I want you to come back that you might strengthen somebody with your testimony. Yeah. With your testimony. More about the test than the money. We got enough monies in the church. They moan over this and moan over that and moan over this and moan over that. Listen, when you've been through something, tell somebody. When I'm traveling and I'm on a overseas flight and I get on the plane and I'm tired and I sit down and the people are looking at me going, oh, I was hoping for a skinny person. I say, sorry. I'll think small thoughts for the next 19 hours. I know how it works. And if they say, hi, how are you? And they want to talk. And if I don't feel like talking, I go, hi, my name's Chuck Price. I'm a Pentecostal minister. Thanks. Conversation's over. Watch the trilogy of The Lord of the Rings, and I get off the airplane. If I want to talk, I sit down and go, hey, my name's Chuck Price. I'm the executive director of Reapers in the Rain International. It's a missions organization based out of Canada, da, da, da. And before you know it, their business card is usually in my hand. and they want to donate or give something or do something. I get that. I get that. But you know what, sir? There are people that wouldn't give me the time of day, but they'll listen to you. They'll listen to you. They'll listen to your turn back story. They'll listen to you when your faith was tested. You may have blown it, sir, or you may have not, but somebody will listen to you. But as soon as I get labeled as Reverend Chuck, nobody wants the time of day. In fact, they want, can I move my seat, please? Is there another seat here? Yeah, I'll pay for first class just to get away from this guy. They'll listen to your story. They'll listen to your story. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your faith. The devil knows you're going to fail, but you're going to need your faith to get back up again. That's real life. You may not like it, but that's kind of where we live. That's kind of where I've been living. But I thank God for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to fail in your faith. It's another thing to deny your faith. It doesn't disqualify you. Look at the list in Hebrews chapter 11. You ever looked at some of these marble heads? I mean men of faith? Abraham. Abraham's a stinking liar. If I ever said what he said about his woman, if Trish ever caught wind of me saying to someone, oh, that's my sister, some of you met her. She's an American beauty. I couldn't find a Canadian to take the risk. If I ever said, as Abraham said to the king that day, oh, that's my sister, and to be sure your sins will find you out, right? Because a week later, he's getting a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Here's an old word. He's getting a little funky with his wife, and the king looks down and sees it going on and he's thinking, man, if that's your sister, you are a sick puppy. Now, I paraphrased a whole lot there, but you get the idea. You get the idea. Right? Be sure your sin will find you out. Don't be mad at the person. There's a homing device on sin. There is. There's a homing device on sin because there's a trailer there. The wages of sin is death. There's the trailer. And so we shouldn't be mad at the person who finds you out. There's a homing device on sin. Abraham's a stinking liar, and he's found in the Hebrew, in this Hebrew 11, as a hero of faith. Not just of a guy of faith, but a hero of faith. Look at the rest of the list. There's Jacob. Well, Jacob's a deceiver. His name means deceiver, supplanter, liar. That's the dude. Moses was a murderer. He was a murderer. Remember the first time he tried to lead? He killed a guy. Like, I've read a lot of Maxwell stuff, and that's not one of the qualities of leadership. First Sunday at a new church, just kill somebody. Just kill the guy. Just waste him. You got the congregation's full attention now. It's not a great quality. 40 years later, Moses shows up going, hey, let's try this again. Let's try this again. It took him 40 years of walking sand in the manna, right, to try to get the program that God wanted for his life. Church, aren't you glad he's patient this morning for you and I? Because listen, we've assassinated a lot of stuff over our years. You might not have killed somebody, but you killed something. You assassinated something. And here he is listed there. You got Rahab the prostitute. Like her house was on the wall for a reason. So all the men coming and going didn't disrupt everybody else. I mean, she lived there and the men would come and go, and she was known as the prostitute, the harlot, and she's listed there. We all got a past. We all got a past. You didn't come out of your mama's womb speaking in tongues. We all got a past. We all of us got a four-letter word we don't like to talk about, but here they are. Samson's a womanizer. Man, he's a woman. He could be strong in the Holy Ghost, but that boy had an issue. For one, he never listened to his mama. Mama say, go down here and find a woman. He'd be hunting over here. Didn't listen to his mama. Son, listen to your mama before I come down there and slap you. He's a womanizer. He had a weakness. He's a womanizer. And yet here he is found in Hebrews chapter 11. Listen, I read this because if they can pull it off, you and I can pull it off. Just thinking out loud with some friends. David, he's an adulterer. You may as well say murderer too. He sent Uriah where he knew the tough guys were at the front line. Uriah wasn't a tough guy. He put Uriah in a place where he knew he'd get stuck. He knew that. He knew it. Full accord. Put him up the front. Takes the man's wife, sleeps with him. Man, he's an adulterer. You are not disqualified this morning because of your past. Can I take it farther? You're not disqualified today because of your present. But you ought not to make it your future. By faith, we pull something in that's there, not seen, but we're going to pull it in this morning before we leave. By faith, By faith. By faith. Are you with me?
Yes.
Can I move on?
Yes.
Good. I'm going to do it anyway. Number three, there's only one faith, but different operations of that one gift. There's only one faith. There's not all kinds of faith. I had a lady tell me, Pastor, I don't know what's wrong with me. I got all kinds of faith and I'm not getting healed. I said, ma'am, that's your problem. You got all kinds. There's only one faith. It was one God, one baptism, one Jesus, one God. There's only one faith. Listen, when you got God, you don't need anybody else.
Amen.
There's a short list in my list. One name, God. Right? Okay, we can go three names. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Right? That's my short list of faith. And so there's one faith, but different operations. Abraham operated a different faith than Isaac. Abraham created faith. Okay? God commanded faith. He commanded faith. He commanded things that were not to be. Read Genesis 1. Then read Hebrews 11, just the first 12 verses. Talks about that. That he commanded faith. Some of you are dealing with situations today where there's nothing to attach your faith to but sickness and sin. Not a bad thing. Some of you say, Chuck, I don't know where to attach my faith as things not yet seen. Then I'm asking you to command faith today. You command faith. You command it because there's nothing there. God made everything out of nothing. What can you do today? Let me say it again. God made everything out of nothing. He commanded faith. Did he create? Absolutely. But how did that creation take place? He commanded it. He commanded it. Right? Abraham created faith. Let's go back in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. He says to the young man who's holding their mules, donkeys, camels, whatever they are, he says to that young lad, we are going up the mountain to worship. We shall return. God had said, I want you to kill your son, your only son, your son of promise. I want you to stick him when you get up there and offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham has full knowledge of that, but he believes that his son is a son of resurrection, just like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hebrews 11, it's in there also. He believed that he could stick his son, kill him, shish kebab him, and God was going to raise him from the dead. He still goes up the mountain, and he says to the boy holding the donkeys, we'll be back. What was he doing? He was creating faith. He was creating an atmosphere. See, there was only supposed to be one that came back, because if he was going to be obedient, his son ought not to be coming off the mountain. See, what a cruel guy. Listen, friend, when you know God, it's called faith. When you know God, you can take what seems cruel in your mind and cruel in your marriage and cruel in your business opportunity, and you can see faith arise because God has a bigger answer than what you're seeing with your eyes.
Amen.
That's God. So you can command faith, you can create faith, or you can submit to faith. Submit to faith. Submit to faith. Submission to faith is like taking an umbrella and opening it up and then coming underneath all the promises of God. When you command faith, you stand on the promises of God and said, God, you told me you'd do it. You got to do it. Pitter patter, let's get at her. All right? God said it, he's got to do it. It's just a matter of when, not if. I don't pray if with God, I pray when. You said it, you promised me 18 years ago, you're going to give me this in this country, and I believe God's going to do it. It's a matter of when. It's a matter of when, not if. You need to change your attitude about that. And so command, the same faith, but different operations. The creation, right? Creative faith, and then the submission of faith. Listen, it would have rocked my socks if my son Matthew, and we're going up the hill, and my son looks at me and goes, hey, Dad, I see the wood, I see the fire, hey, we're missing something. Where's the sacrifice? No. God will provide. God will provide. God will provide. What's Abraham doing? He's creating faith. He's creating faith. He did it at the bottom of the hill, and he did it halfway up the hill, and he did it on top of the hill. His attitude of faith never changed because of circumstances. Mom, we've all said goodbye to some pretty neat people. I've prayed for thousands, tens of thousands in my life. Some have been healed, some have not. I've prayed for family members that have died terrible deaths in the physical and have gone home to see Jesus Christ. I wept, I fasted, I prayed on God. For 4 months I called on God and they went home to see Jesus. I don't understand it all, but I'm not changing my faith. I'm not changing my theology. I'm not changing my belief system because of my experience. I'm not doing that. I don't run by experience. Changing the brakes, yes, yes. Hunting, yes. Fishing, yes, 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 yes. But not by faith. Not by faith. God has something bigger and better, and I say thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac's submission to faith was that he kept walking up the hill. Like if I'm Isaac and my dad goes, hey, God will provide, I'm like, I smell a rat. I smell a rat. I'm out of here. See you, Dad. Nice plan. Not playing. Don't want to participate. Don't want to play this. I mean, Abraham's older. He's got this faith built into him. I'm a young puppy. I'm on the way up my hill. My dad says, hey, don't worry. God's going to provide. And I think I know what's going on. On top of that, he lets his dad tie his hands when they get up there, plunk him on the altar. By that time, I'm like, I don't want to play anymore. Ollie, ollie, home free. I'm out of here. You ain't see my butt for dust. I'm off that mountain. Question, and I'll move on. I need to get it right. Wonder how many times God has wanted to use us in the development of somebody else's faith, but we jumped off the altar. Oh, I love to command faith. I love to create faith. But submit to faith, to submit to things under faith. Wonder how many times I wasn't willing to be a submission to God in someone else's situations. And that situation wasn't met through me because I wasn't willing to submit. I didn't mind being the guy with the knife in my hand, but I don't want to be the sacrifice. I just wondered out loud how many times that I messed up with the submissive faith that God wanted to use you and I to touch somebody else's life, but we had to submit under faith, and we chose not to do it because of the sacrifice we had to make. Number four, your faith needs exercise. Your faith needs exercise. I told you before, you were saved by faith, you walk in faith, and you'll die in your faith. In Old Testament, they walked by faith. In New Testament, we walk in faith. Is the microphone still on? In Old Testament, they walked by faith. We have New Testament Christians still walking by Old Testament faith. We have Old Testament, New Testament Christians walking by Old Testament faith. They're still trying to walk by faith. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you are no longer by faith, you are in faith. In faith lives inside of you. In faith is inside of you. Jesus Christ is inside of you. Old Testament, Holy Spirit came down, you did what you had to do, and the Holy Spirit would lift. He doesn't lift anymore. The 120 in the upper room did us a large favor. Holy Spirit came down, he came in, they went out, and he never asked us to come back. He never left. I see people at the altar waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, right here, right here, right here. I'm thinking, smarten up, you big knucklehead. He lives inside of you. He lives inside of you. The day you gave your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came in. He came in. He came in. Does he have other gifts for you and fruits for you? Absolutely. But when Jesus Christ came in, the Holy Spirit, it's a package deal. Holy Spirit came inside. He's lived inside of you ever since then. You are no longer walking by faith. You are walking in faith. In faith, because Jesus Christ is inside of you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't imply by. That implies in. That he lives inside of you. That means he has to watch what you watch. That means he has to go where you go. That means he has to hear what you hear. That means you have to put up with some of the stuff that you ought to walk away from and turn off the computer and turn off the television, because that window of your soul is your eyeballs, and the Holy Spirit sticks with you. And he's made you a promise that nobody else can make sitting on your right or your left, that they'll be with you always, even on to the end of the age. The Holy Spirit's made a commitment to you that nobody else in this room can make.
Amen.
Thank you for that smattering of applause. There's saving faith. Some people get saved, but they never really understand their walk to faith. Wouldn't it be sad to live for Jesus Christ all these years and still be operated in saving faith?
That's right. Yeah.
Excuse me? Wouldn't it be sad to be saved all these years and still operating in the gift of saving faith? Oh, I got saved. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. I got a house in the subdivision. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's all nice. But what about your walking faith? See, to me, your walking faith is a gift. No, your saving faith is a gift. Your walking faith is a fruit. Because it grows. It grows. How do you go from no faith to little faith to much faith if something's not growing? If it's a gift, here's the gift. It's a gift. That's what it is. It's always going to be that. It's a gift. But by faith, in Christ, not faith in faith, it's faith in Jesus. And so we apply that this morning, that I'm walking in my faith, and it's either, faith is either a gift or a fruit. You can't manufacture it. You can't muster it. You can't say, Jesus, I'm going to start the spit in the eye ministry. Work for Jesus, so I'm going to spit in the eye, get a little bit of mud, and slap in someone's face and butt their heel in the name of Jesus. Try that someday and see if you don't get punched out. Or the rip off the roof ministry. Where do you want your skylight? Yeah, I read the parable too. But I'm not going to start a ministry called the rip off the roof ministries, because it was done once, because I'm not pulling from back there. I'm pulling from what I can't see. I'm pulling from my future. It's there because I sense it in my spirit. I just don't see it with my eyeballs. And so I'm pulling on something that's there, and I want it, and I desire that. But you need to develop your faith. And that's what Abraham does. Genesis 22, verse 1 and 2. Abraham says, Abraham says, yes, here am I. God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and sacrifice him. Ouch. You notice who doesn't have a speaking part? Yeah, the sacrifice. Isaac doesn't have a speaking part. Isaac learns faith, learns sacrifice young. Man, he digs wells. He gives sacrifice to God the rest of his life. He redigs stuff. He gives sacrifice to God. And then when he's an old dude and he can't see anymore, he's legally blind, but he still sees something.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't need 20/20 to have faith.
Amen.
You don't need eyesight to have faith. Faith in Jesus. So you can't speak to a mountain. It's too big. Can you speak to a speed bump? Can you speak to something this morning? Can you speak by faith? Nobody just gets saved. People just go to hell every day. But nobody just gets saved. Somebody, if it wasn't a praying grandma, if it wasn't your praying spouse, if it wasn't someone in the church, there's one who sits beside the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to pray for you. And the Holy Spirit has a prayer life. He's your prayer partner, and he also lives to pray for you. He's pulling. He's pulling on your son's heart today to get right with God. He's pulling on your husband's heart today to get right with God. One of the dangers about going to church is that people think you're a Christian. One of the greatest mission fields in Canada is the church. It's the church. There are guys and gals that come every day to please whoever they're married to, but they have no love for God, no want for God, no. And the longer they sit and push away conviction, it's a hard call, because after a while, they've built up a callus to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's not that the Holy Spirit doesn't nudge their heart anymore, it's that they don't feel it anymore, because they built up a callus. Those of us who travel, we get injections, little bits and pieces of stuff to fight scarlet fever, the mumps and all the stuff, A, B, C, D, F, G, all the stuff there. And they shoot little bits and pieces so your body can build up a resistance. You can come to church, and if you're not careful, you will build up a resistance of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
See, Chuck, how can that happen? We're in the presence of God. Yeah, the presence of God. He has no choice. He's everywhere. He can't leave you. He's God. He's God. This is not Old Testament. This is not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the New Testament church. You know, you can come and build up a resistance just like on your little yellow immunization card until after a while you no longer hear the voice of God. Wouldn't that be sad?
Yeah.
To go to church and still go to hell.
Yeah. That's right.
To be among people that love you and pray for you and would be what you need in your life and not to get it this morning. How sad would that be? To be a businessman, sir, means you take care of eternity, not Freedom 55. I gave up on that program about 25. I'm free in Jesus Christ today. I'm free when I was 25, I'm free when I was 35, I was free when I was 45, and I was free when I'm 55, and when I'm 65, I still plan on being free. It's a choice because of my faith in God.
Yes.
I exercise my faith. I exercised it this morning before I left. Held my little month-old granddaughter in my arms. And I just prayed, blessed, and I prophesy over her. I don't get to see her that often. It's only been a month. I pray over her and I prophesy over her. A couple of weeks when we're in Ottawa with Bill, you know, when I'm finished those meetings, I'm going right over to the Moody Drive and I'm going to lay hands upon that little girl again, because someone's got to fight for her.
Right.
Someone's got to speak faith. Someone's got to create atmosphere. Someone has to command. Someone has to submit. Someone has to walk in sacrifice. Someone has to do that. Someone like yourself. I know you know it this morning. I'm just here to remind you. Number five, and I'm done. It simply says this, and I want you to get it in your heart. Your faith will outlive you. Your faith will outlive you. Isaac's old eyes blind, but he couldn't see, but his faith lived on. His faith lived on. Hallelujah. Man, it must have ripped the heart of Isaac. Must have ripped the heart out of Isaac. Ripped the heart out of Isaac. Ripped it. Ripped his heart out. When he realized what Jacob was up to way back in the book of Genesis. When he realized he'd been deceived by one of his own. Must have ripped his heart out. Sir, we've all had opportunities to turn our back on family like that. For that one person that doesn't get the Christmas invitation, they're never invited to the barbecue in July because everybody knows how they're going to come and what they're going to say, and they got to carry them home later. We all got the Uncle Pete. All of us. All of us. But somebody this morning has to pull on his heart. Someone has to pull on his soul because a million years from this morning, he'll be in one of two places. Somebody has to care enough to pull on Uncle Pete's heart to see something. Someone has to go home this morning and tell their kid that slipped in at 4 o'clock this morning, couldn't find the central staircase, so hammered, so wasted. Someone has to go home this morning and say, you know what, son? God's got a bigger plan for you than where you are today.
Yes.
See, they understand captivity. What they don't understand is freedom.
That's right.
I knew when I sinned. No one had to tell me when I sinned. I knew when I sinned. I grew up in this. What I needed is someone to come along and say, Chuck Price, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. I want you to understand this morning. I don't care about your potential, and neither does the devil. The devil doesn't give a rip about your potential. I appreciate your grade 12 counselor, guidance counselor. Appreciate the work they do. But they see potential because of your education, because of your view in life, because of your skill set. God sees plan and purpose from Psalm 139. That you were weaved inside of your mama's womb. And there are two templates. One is because mom and dad did the wild monkey dance. And the other one is because Holy Spirit lives inside of you. There are two templates. One is Godhead, one is family. And those two need to come together. I don't call forth the potential in your life. I call forward the plans and the purposes of God for your life, for this house, for this leadership. I call forward not yet seen, but it's there. You know it's there. You can sense it in your spirit. You can taste it. You can smell it. It's there. It's there. Is it God's will to save? Yeah, I pull on that in Jesus' name. I don't pray, if it be your will, save my family. It is God's will to save my family. Man. Yeah, I need to stop now. I'm meddling. I want you to leave something you didn't buy. See, there are a number of reasons why I live for Jesus. Can I tell you three? And the list is growing. His name is Matthew. He's my firstborn. He lives in Thailand. He's a missionary there with his wife and two kids. He's one of the reasons I live for Jesus. Her name is Sarah. She's at the house this morning with little Zayla. I live for Jesus because of Sarah. Her name is Rebecca. 6 foot, big blonde, take no prisoners. Husband 6 foot seven. They're expecting a baby boy in August. Football player, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a few reasons why I live for Jesus, sir. Because one day I'm going to be gone. And they'll face a crossroads in life, a why in the road. And I'd like them to have this conversation. Hey, Sarah, what up? Matthew, we're not sure which way to go. We're not sure which way to go. And I like these words to come out of all three of their mouths. I'm not sure which way to go either. So which way do you think Dad went? Which way do you think Dad would go? Which way do you think Dad would go? Because that's the way we're going to go, the way that Dad would go.
Amen.
Leave your kids something that's a legacy of faith, a legacy of faith, bigger than the family business. Bigger than the RSPPPPPPPs. Bigger than all the stuff. A legacy of faith. That your faith will outlive you. That long after you're gone, long after you're gone, the boys and gals are still talking about the faith that was passed down to them. This morning, by faith, what do you see? please don't say nothing, because the devil sees. And if the church doesn't see by faith, we're in trouble. If the church doesn't see in faith, we're in trouble. What do you see this morning for your family? What do you see in faith? What do you see in faith for your healing? What do you see in faith for this region? What do you see in faith for the blessing of Toronto? What do you see in faith? What do you see in faith? Because if the church doesn't see it, we're done. We're done. I'm coming off the road and going back to social work. We're done. We're done. And Abraham blessed, and Isaac blessed, and Jacob blessed. And when they were old, they didn't stop blessing. Didn't see well, but they wanted to bless another generation. Another generation. Another generation. By faith, what do you see today? In faith, what do you see today? What do you see for your Jacob? What do you see for your Esau? The rebellious one, the mad one. Left for 20 years. Didn't have one conversation. What do you see for your Jacobs and your Esau's this morning? In faith. Come on, let's stand together. Father, we bless you today. We bless you today. We bless you today. In faith today. In faith. Father, I pray for the operation of faith to continue to grow in our lives as we exercise faith. Exercise it. Speak it. Create it. People say you're just positive thinking. Well, I'd rather be positive than negative. Man, enough negative stuff out there. No need to come to church to get depressed. Father, we just speak positive today. I'm positive that when Jesus said it was finished, he meant it. I'm positive that the tomb is empty. I'm positive that the grave clothes are empty. I'm positive that the cross is empty. I'm positive that the same Jesus Christ that broke the powers of death now lives inside of me. I'm positive of that. I'm positive. I'm positive that Jesus healed once, he has to do it again. I'm positive if he saved once, he's got to do it again. As for me and my house, we shall. Hasn't happened yet, but I'm pulling on it. I'm pulling on it. I don't need to remind my family of the past. I need to speak to the future. I need to speak to the future for Uncle Pete, for Uncle Joe, for Matthew, for Sarah, Rebecca. I need to pull on their future. I need to see things that can't be seen. I need to see into the invisible until they're visible. Those things that I can't touch, I need to pull on them till they're tangible, touchable. By faith, in faith. I pray this morning, Father, you'd speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Pray if there's some of the sound of my voice that's not in faith. I pray that in faith today they would come. By faith in Jesus Christ, they would receive today. They would receive Jesus Christ. They wouldn't hide in church. When it counts the most, miss the rapture. Mess it up. I pray you'd speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. That we'd be in faith, not around faith. In Jesus' name. I pray for those, Lord God, that are struggling in their faith. Father, I pray if it's a speed bump, I speak to it. Say, get out of my way, I cast you into the sea. If it's a hill, get out of my way, I cast you into the sea. If it's a mountain, same prayer. Get out of my way, I cast you in the sea. I come against fear and doubts, fake painkillers. I come against anxiety today. I come against the lies of the enemy. His job description has never changed. John 10:10, the first part. It's never changed. His MO has never changed. He hates your guts, whether you serve Jesus or you're not, because you're made in the image of the one he hates the most. I pray today, Lord God, we come against the thief, the destroyer, the liar. We come against him today, and we jump on the last part of John 10:10, that we serve a God that wants to give us an abundant life, an abundant life, an abundant life, a more abundant life. I pray in faith today we'd pull on something. I cut ties with my past today. I don't push, pull, or drag. I'm not interested. I want you to take your dominant hand this morning. Take your right hand, or if you're lefty, we'll pray for you. I want you to grab something this morning. You say, Chuck, yeah, we're going to do this. Don't make me come down there. If you're in faith today, stick your hand out. make it obvious. And I want you to grab a hold of something that you can't see, but you know it's there. You know it's there. I'll use both today. I just need to pull some stuff in today. As a dad, as an uncle, as a brother, as a missionary evangelist, I just need to pull some things in today. I pull them in today. Come on. By faith, I attach my faith. Command, create, submit. I attach my faith and I begin to pull it in because I know it's God's will. I know it's God's will to save. I know it's God's will to heal. I know it's God's will to direct.
Yes.
Certain things I don't have to pray over. I can pray through in one end and out the other. But I pull on it today. I pull on my family's salvation today in Jesus' name. I pull on it. Somebody has to. Someone's trying to pull it apart. I'm just going to pull on it today. As for me and my house, we will, because it's God's will that none should perish, but all should come to everlasting life. So it's not hard for me to pray this today. I pull on it. I pray for the directive of things that are time sensitive in hearts and lives today. I pray for issues that need to be dealt with this month. They cannot be left till another season. There's a door and it's going to close. We pray for sensitivity to the voice of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I pray for the now of faith. The now of faith. The now of faith. The now of faith. Father, we planted seed. We ask for fruit. I pull on it today in Jesus' name. I pull on it. Satan, you're a liar, you big knucklehead. We pull on faith today. We pull on it today. Faith in God, not faith in faith. Faith in God. I pull on it today. I pray for that healing today. I pray for that healing. I stand in the place for that person that I've been praying for. And I pray, I curse that cancer in Jesus' name. You've obviously made a mistake. Their body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Get out. Get out. Go back to hell where you belong in Jesus' name. We speak it. We speak it. We create it. We create an atmosphere for God to operate in. We prepare now for later. I pray for that word to sink deep into our spirits today. My goodness. Because I can't see it, doesn't mean it's a spiritual success or failure. It's by faith. By faith. I never judge spiritual success with my eyes, ever. I pray it. I believe it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, church. The world says, if I can't see it, I don't believe it. That's not us, right, Bubba? We say, I can't see it, but I still believe it. World says, you're nuts. Well, yeah, there's a lineup for that, right? I can't see it, but I believe it. Come on, a lot of people couldn't see what God saw in us. Like your grade 11 biology teacher, right? The best 3 years of your life. Right? Couldn't see what God saw in you, but God saw something. That one teacher that commented on, you got all the potential in the world, but you'll go nowhere. And that's haunted you over the years, haunted you. They didn't see what God saw in you as a 17-year-old guy or a gal. Didn't see it, didn't see it, but God did. Why? Because he's pulling on future. He's pulling on future. He's pulling on future. We pull on India today in Jesus' name. We pull on India. We pull on India. We pull on it. We pull on it in Jesus' name. We pull on it. We pull on Cuba today in Jesus' name. These are doors that God has opened and no man's going to shut them. It's too late for communism in Cuba. It's too late. The gospel's too widespread in Jesus' name. Father, we don't have 3 million gods or 300 million gods. We have one God today who operates in one faith. Hallelujah. And we just say thank you in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Today, today, today.
Yes.
I pray, Father God, this would be the day for salvation, for healing, for a hope that's bigger than us in Jesus' name. I grab a hold of something today and I pull it in. I pull it in. I pull it in. I pull it in. I pull it in through circumstances. I pull it in. The veil has been rent. It's rent. In fact, it wasn't just rent. It was sold. Hallelujah. And it's open today in Jesus' name. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. And I pull it in. I pull it in. In Jesus' name. Satan, you're a liar. We declare life over over death in Jesus' name. We declare, Lord God, where we've seen 10 saved, we declare 100, 100, 1,000 in Jesus' name. It's that time of multiplication. We speak it, we prophesy it. It's a revelation in our heart, Lord God. Now, we pray you take the seeds of faith that have been to just be nurtured in the good soil, and we pull on them today in Jesus' name. We ask for fruit in Jesus' name. We ask for the nations today. We ask, Lord God, we pull on those things in Jesus' name. Master, we can't do it, but you can. Hallelujah. 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 Father, my vision is bigger than me. I pull on my future in Jesus' name. I pull it in. I pull it in till I'm touching it, till it's tangible in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, church. Get this in your spirit this morning. I know it's a holiday weekend, but get it in your heart this morning. I know it's a holiday weekend, but get it in your heart. Get it in your heart. Get it in your heart. Hallelujah. Shia la la bora basanda da 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 banda. Hakoya kota dia basanda. Satan, you're a liar. 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 We speak life, 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 life until we see the answers to prayer in Jesus' name. Life in the Holy Spirit. 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 We pray that and declare it in Jesus' name. Faith that would outlive us. Faith, Lord God, that would speak to the generations that follow in Jesus' name. 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 Hallelujah. One more thing I believe God wants to direct us in. I want to say this before we pray it. Some of you aren't going to like it, but who cares? If some of us prayed for salvation like we do for divine healing, nobody would get saved. I'll give you a minute. If some of us prayed for healing, or sorry, like for salvation like we do for divine healing, nobody would be getting saved. Let me say it again. If some of us prayed for salvation like we do for divine healing, nobody would be getting saved. Nobody would be getting saved. I hear people praying, Lord, if it be your will, if you're not too busy, it's a Sunday morning, if you wouldn't mind healing my son. What's that about? Mamby-pamby, wishy-washy, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. There's not a mom and dad in the room that hasn't prayed for their son and come against the gates of hell. And if a demon gets in your way, you slap him for fun. Because that's your boy. That's your baby girl. That's your kid. You would go up against the biggest dude in Toronto or Canada and you'd slap him silly if you had to get to your son. If you had to fight for their salvation, you would take on an army. You would lay down your life like that. And all of a sudden comes the divine healing. We're going, whoa, whoa, wait a minute, Skippy. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Let me set the record straight this morning. The same blood that saves you is the same blood that heals you. I read the 1,100 chapters. Not once in one verse, one reference does it say anything different than the same blood that saves you is the same blood that heals you. Does everybody I pray for get saved? No. Does everybody I pray for get healed? No. Do I change my theology? No. Does God will go, oh, sorry, we missed this one. No, it doesn't change heaven whatsoever. The least I can do for you this morning is pray for you. That's the least I can do. That's the least I can do. Is pray for you. Let me say it again. The same blood that saves you is the same blood that heals you. I've done well over 100 funerals in 24 years of pastoring. Some pretty cool people. And every time I think I lost a little piece of me. And some of them, but I've never changed my belief and faith that it's God's will to heal. It's kind of hard to pray the prayer of faith if you don't believe in faith. Duh. It's kind of hard to pray the prayer of faith if you don't believe in divine healing. Like if you hear I'm sick and I'm dying and you don't believe God can heal me, don't pray for me. Don't pray for me. With my last breath, I'll get up and I'll punch you in the head. And don't pray this way either. Please, Lord, I pray you'd be with Trish and the kids, and I just pray you comfort them and help them to get those egg sandwiches done for the funeral. And I just pray, Lord God, you comfort and peace. What, you know what? I'd rather go out into eternity listening to someone praying a prayer of faith. I'd rather take my last breath with somebody going, in the name of Jesus Christ, I curse this foul thing in the name of Jesus. We lift up Chuck today. We lift his body as a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'd rather take my last breath down here listening to a prayer of faith than, Lord God, bless the egg sandwiches at his reception. Yeah. I'm in heaven. You're stuck eating sandwiches. Glory. All them tuna rolls. How many things? Forget all that stuff. You need a healing this morning. I want you to raise your hand. In fact, I want you to come. You need a healing in your body. I want you to come. You need a healing in your body. I want you to come. All right? Your act of faith is your feet right now, not your brain. Your brain says, let's go to Swiss Chalet, because it usually follows its tummy. Right? Your act of faith is, that's your act of faith. You're going up the mountain. Right? You're going up the mountain, going up the mountain, going up the mountain. Right? The least I could do before we leave today is to pray for you. That's the least. That's the least. That's the least. We got lots of preachers, but we lack ministers. We got lots of guys that can preach. They're better on television than they are pastoring. Because they preach, the commercial comes on, and they go home. But we're going to minister now. We're going to minister now. We're going to minister now. We believe God. The same blood that saves you is the same blood that heals you. Find me one verse in the Bible that contradicts that, and I'll dance with you. But you can't, because I've read it and read it, and it reads me. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Father, we're going to take our healing today. I'm tired of asking. I'm tired of asking. You know what? Asking's nice. We can become professional askers. I've been asking you now for how many years? How many months? Father, I'm just going to reach out a little further today. I'm going to take what's already paid for. See, I brought my shopping cart today, and I hear it's already paid for. I hear it's in the atonement. I hear it's through the blood. I hear every verse I know in the Bible that speaks about healing is past tense. I tell you guys over there, but all these guys will have to follow me down that way then. Every verse in the Bible about healing is past tense. It's already there. Old Testament, New Testament. It's past tense. It's already there. It's already paid for. It's not like could have been, would have maybe might happen in the future. No, not going to play that game. Every verse that talks about healing is past tense. Right? By his stripes you are healed. Past tense. He sent his word and he healed the sick. Past tense. Past tense. Past tense. So it's already there. Already there. Why does God heal some and not others? I don't know, but the least we can do is pray for some. That's the least we can do.
Hallelujah.
Pray for somebody. Not just believe. Belief can be a theology. My faith is the way I live. Belief writes doctrinal statements. Faith is how I live. Belief creates denomination. Faith is how I live.
Amen.
It's how I live. It's how I live. The devil believes in God, but he doesn't have a faith in God.
That's right.
I'll give you a minute. The devil believes in God, but he doesn't have a faith in God. Lots of folks believe God in Peterborough, but they don't have a faith in God.
Yeah, that's right.
Some here this morning that believe in God, but you don't have a faith in God. Would you please change that today before we go? Father, we pray for the greatest healing of all, the healing of soul,
yes. Yes.
Salvation. We pray for that healing today in Jesus' name,
yes.
That we'd actually experience life for the very first time, away from existence. I pray, Father God, you love us so much that we just call upon the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you write my name down in a book of life. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I pray right now for those who don't know Christ to make that commitment in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Come on, sir, ma'am, I give my life to Jesus Christ. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me my sins in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on. Let's believe God.